In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. My family and I received a wonderful blessing this winter. I was in Washington, D.C. when a large storm with high winds hit Detroit. And as you may remember, the storm left many without power. That Friday night, I was happy to have returned home when I received a call about 9 p.m. from a coworker. He had been at the same meetings that I had attended in D.C. and was trying to return home to his wife in Colorado, but flight delays had stranded him at the airport in Detroit. And there were no hotel rooms available because of all of the people without power. So my friend wondered if he might, just possibly, stay with us. He was in our home probably less than 10 hours before we had to take him back to the airport. But it was wonderful having him as a guest. We felt flattered that he was comfortable enough to call us and ask. And I was so happy to have him meet my family. And I think he was very interested in that as well, because as a soon-to-be new father, it was a chance to see a family that already had college and high school-aged kids. It was a short but wonderfully unexpected visit. My colleague was grateful for the hospitality, yet I felt that we had somehow received so much more from his being present. This morning we hear a passage about welcoming. This occurs at the end of a discourse by Jesus about what discipleship will entail: traveling from town to town, being accepted by some and rejected by others, and learning to shake off rejection like dust from your shoes, lest another steal away the joy that God intends for you. Here at the end of this discourse, Matthew is assuring the early church that whoever welcomes a disciple is welcoming Jesus and welcoming the God who sent him. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to these little ones in the name of the disciple, truly, I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. It does not take much love to reap powerful dividends. Even something as simple as a cup of water brings a reward. This morning's gospel is so short, and yet it points to so much: the gift of hospitality, our calling within the broader church, and our calling to the nation and world at large. The gift of hospitality is a tangible example of how the whole of creation is so much more than the sum of its parts. I think about my colleague who visited. What we had to offer him was made so much richer by his willingness to accept it, by our time of conversation, by our sharing of drink and food. A meal, a warm fire, a place of security are blessings in their own right, but they are so much more when they are shared with another. Moreover, there is a sense of empowerment when we are able to share with another. That sense of empowerment is a life-giving reward. And I might add that it is also a gift to ask others for help when you are in need. You give them the opportunity to share the gifts that they have. There is a rich reward in hospitality for both the host and the guest, not from any thanks or favor eventually returned, but because in the very act of hospitality, we share grace. We see the divine in others. We experience the kingdom that has drawn near. I hope that you never underestimate the gifts that you have to give through hospitality. Another example that comes to me is a year ago when my mother-in-law passed away. Friends who were out of town opened up their home for out-of-town guests to stay. And while our hosts were not physically present, they opened up their house for our family to gather after the service. And their welcoming generosity and hospitality from afar provided a blessing that I know we as a family will always treasure through the years. We cannot know how truly powerful our gift of hospitality may be, because like all love, it continues to ripple out across time long after we have lost sight of it. The gift of hospitality we hear of in this morning's gospel tells us much about our Christian calling. Some may be prophets, some may be righteous teachers. Some may simply provide a cup of water. Yet all have a calling. All are invited into a mission and a love that is so much larger than ourselves. The smallest gift we have to give is valued and important. Our gifts matter not only because of the blessing they give the recipient, but because they make us more alive, more fully who we are. This passage helps me to remember that wherever we may be in life, we have the power to be God's love incarnate. You might feel like you are in the prime of your life with energy, resources, and time to invest in being God's love in the world. Or perhaps you feel tired this morning, overly busy, in poor health, feeling alone or wondering what you have to give. Yet as Christians, as long as we are still blessed with our faculties, we always have at least ourselves to give. We see this truth in those who are great and in those who are unnamed. Perhaps you have heard the stories of Nelson Mandela and his ability, even in a horrible prison, to win over and have a profoundly positive impact on the very people who guarded him. I had an instructor who, while struggling to recover from heart surgery, still had the wherewithal to be kind to nurses who cared for him. In fact, I recall that when I would visit my dad before he passed away, his caregivers often said, "He's our favorite." And I know it's because even in his discomfort, he knew that he had the power and the gift to be kind and appreciative. As Christians, we are blessed with the knowledge that we are always empowered to love. We are called to ask how our love is best expressed. Perhaps it's in a leadership role. Perhaps it's best lived out through our secular work or volunteering. And so often it is behind the scenes, seen only by the Spirit, but rooted in profound blessings of hospitality and reconciliation. Even at the cathedral, so many things can go unnoticed. Warmly greeting the person we do not recognize on a Sunday. Welcoming visitors into the cathedral on a Friday or Noel night or Evensong or other occasions. And even showing compassion and patience for the brother or sister who may be in our midst and just having a difficult day. These are gifts of ministry and hospitality. If we ever feel that there is not a role for us in the church, that we are not connected to something larger than ourselves, we are wise to reconsider. If you ever feel that there is not a role for you in ministry, sit down with the dean or with Sister V or with Brian or myself or any friends you may have and let's talk. God is always ready to to work wonderful things through each of us. Sometimes the ministry you are called to may not yet exist, but is just waiting to be brought to life. We are meant to share the grace we have been given. We are meant to change this nation and this world as we follow a God who loves us and loves everyone. This resonates particularly powerfully for me on this 4th of July weekend. No country is perfect, but I feel to be blessed to live in a nation that has as its core the belief that all people are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, admittedly, I had to substitute people for men, and even as these words were written, they did not reflect the reality of how countless people on this continent lived. But falling short of this ideal does not undercut the power of the ideal. We as Christians are citizens both of God's kingdom, but also as humans, as part of an earthly nation. In living out this dual citizenship, we are often frustrated that the graciousness of God's kingdom and how we govern our earthly affairs do not align. Yet as Christians and Christians who live in America, we can fully embrace the belief that all people are equal and that the Creator has given rights to all. We can proclaim and promote the dignity of every human being, both as a commitment of faith and an act of patriotism. We are invited to be hospitable. We are invited to be agents of change. We look back at our nation's history and we see many moments of great triumph. We see a nation of diverse people, a nation of immigrants, which has always been at its best when it has welcomed the dispossessed, when it has promoted grace and chosen mercy over hate or self-interest. We see a nation that is always its greatest when it is committed to the truth that the rights which the signers of the Declaration of Independence endorsed and the grace which the gospel proclaims are not conditional on where you were born, your gender, your identity, whether you are Gentile or Jew, and the list goes on. We give thanks this holiday for the country that we live in, those who have sacrificed to preserve it, and for the freedom to love others as the divine would have us love, to recognize in all we meet the reflection of the Creator who has sent them forth. This gift is not one to be taken lightly or overlooked. We are called in all stages of our lives to discern how we are uniquely empowered to love, to use our freedom, our gifts, and even our limitations to reflect God's love to others. We may do little more some days than offer a cup of cold water. We may only have our presence to offer. But when we act in the spirit of hospitality, the reward is deep. We are living in God's kingdom at those moments. We are reaping a reward that is only present when we are giving ourselves in love and kindness to another. For each other, for the freedom we have to give ourselves away to each other, for the divine love we are empowered to share, for our opportunity to transform our lives and this country through divine grace and hospitality, let us give thanks. Amen.